This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Every time I got on an elevator or attempted to get on an elevator,
the Rich Eisen Show.
This dynamic played out every time.
Hold the elevator.
I'm trying to get on the elevator, and the door shut on me. And the guy looks straight at me in the eye.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst, senior writer for the MMQB. Albert Breer. Coming up, ESPN.com senior NBA writer Ramona Shelburne, plus ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky. And now,
hold the elevator.
It's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Just like the first half of our program, we had some basketball conversation with Brian Windhorst and some football conversation with our friend Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated. This third hour is going to be the exact same construct as our first 2 hours. If you missed any of the conversations here on our program, our YouTube page is there for you, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. This show also re-airs all the time on Peacock every single day right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. There's the sports button just above my finger. I've practiced this at home, by the way, staring at the screen on Peacock to see the tab. Right here, you can see all of our videos on the sports page or on this NBC Sports on Peacock station. We follow the Dan Patrick Show every day, and we precede Brother from Another, which we'll take you to at the top of this hour. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Dan Orlovsky's later on to talk about the world of the National Football League from the worldwide leader in sports, but also from ESPN right now, joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line to discuss everything going on in the association is senior NBA writer from ESPN, Ramona Shelburne. How are you doing, Ramona?
Hey, I'm good. How are you, Rich?
I'm great. We were talking about you the other day because as we went out the door, we saw the news involving the television show that's going to be made out of your fantastic podcast about the Clippers and Donald Sterling, the Donald Sterling tapes, that Ed O'Neill is playing Donald Sterling.
Yeah.
That is,
I hope you love that cast.
I mean, my gosh, that is just, he's, you know, Al Bundy and Jay Pritchett as Donald Sterling is just, it's jarring to me. But that's pretty cool.
You know what was interesting? It was like, I know the process that we went through to get there.
Right.
And I remember, like, you know, you hear different names, you hear this. And when they said, I never in a million years thought of that myself, right? Like, you know, when I was doing the podcast or doing the, you know, covering this and envisioning this should be a movie or a scripted series one day, I never would have thought Ed O'Neill, right?
Right.
And then when they said it to me, I was like, oh, that could totally work. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
Right? And then, and it was one of those kind of castings. And it, you know, I'm really excited about it because I was, I'm a big Breaking Bad person, right?
So, yes.
I think he's got a lot more than Al Bundy to him. Like, you probably just know, a lot of people know that. He's like a theater actor. He's got a lot in him. And he sort of has this Cranston potential to me in that, you know, the Walter White role. Like, there's this could be a really good role for him. And I think I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you know, because usually when you think Donald Sterling, like, you know, the some of the names we, you know, Dustin Hoffman, right, or some other, like those kind of names, Jack Nicholson or something. But this is a really inspired cast. I'm, like, really excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the show years ago. He's been on a couple times, Ed O'Neill, and he said he was discovered for the Al Bundy role coming off of playing Lenny of Mice and Men. I mean, like, he's a serious thespian, no question about that. And also, like, who would look at John C. Reilly and say, that's Jerry Buss, right? So
right.
You never...
He was amazing in that role.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So who else are you targeting for or have already cast for this show, Ramona?
So the other one is Lawrence Fishburne is going to play Doc Rivers. You need some, like, the role that'll probably be the breakout role, right? The one who's, you know, going to be nominated for awards, I think, is probably that role, right? It's
okay.
Doc Rivers' role. So that's, I think Lawrence was the first big name to sign on. And he really wanted that role. I think he's going to be great. He's got a lot of gravitas, which I'm wondering how he's going to get the rasp, though. You going to get that Doc Rivers raspy voice? Like, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one. Or do you just kind of play it straight, you know? Like, but, and then for Shelley Sterling, which is, that was always the role that I was, you know, when I'm a woman, okay? So in this industry, you're always thinking about, like, who would play this role, and that was always the storyline I was drawn to. It was actually the character that made me think this should be more than just a story, but it could be a drama, which is like, I mean, here's this woman after 60 years of marriage to this guy where she puts up with a lot of stuff and she puts up with, you know, philandering and poor behavior and racist stuff and all this awful behavior. After 60 years of marriage, he had this tape comes out and all this, everything goes wrong. And she finally not only sells the team out from under him, but gets him mentally incapacitated in order to do so. And I'm like, here's this little old lady that no one would have ever expected. She's kind of seen as a sweet old lady. And she kind of had to, I mean, I don't know if you want to say she tricked him into this dentist, but she got him to go see two doctors who then, diagnosed him with mental incapacity to manage the family finances. I'm like, that was a boss move. Who thought she had that in her? And that was always like the character I was drawn to. I was like, you know, the ones you never see coming, right? And I just thought, what a great role for an older actress. What a great role. Like, there's not so many of those kind of roles. It reminded me of that, I don't know if you ever saw that Woody Allen movie, with Cate Blanchett, where her husband's the hedge fund manager and she kind of has to change, you know, she kind of has to figure out what to do after her life, you know, changes. It's called Blue Jasmine, right? Kind of reminded me of that kind of a role. And I was like, man, there's so many great actresses who are in their 70s and 80s who would just love that role. So we ended up going with Jackie Weaver, who you probably know from Silver Linings Playbook, right?
Yeah,
she's in
sure.
the new Mark Wahlberg movie. So I think she's going to be amazing.
Fantastic. Also keeping your own center court seats too. You know, she's still.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen her in too many games lately. She kept her seats, you know, but she hasn't gone as much the last few years.
Right.
It's been a distance there.
So when does this come out? When does this come out on FX?
Sometime next year. Fantastic. I think we're going to shoot later on this year, and then it comes out next year, you know, whenever that is.
Sure.
I don't know, the Hollywood game like you guys do, right?
You're right.
Well, 2023-ish, you know, right?
Congrats on all that.
How long it takes to be good, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Congrats on all that. Ramona Shelburne, of course, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. As for the actual drama playing out here in Los Angeles with the Lakers, where are they? Because, Mike Brown being named from the Warriors staff to fill the Sacramento Kings spot. Where are the Lakers right now in their coaching search, best you can tell, Ramona?
So this would be the right way to put it. They are taking their sweet time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You know, it's funny. I actually had brought up Mike Brown's name earlier, like when I was talking to somebody with the Lakers, like, hey, would you guys think about Mike Brown? I mean, he's exactly kind of what you need, somebody who knows how to coach LeBron, defensive-minded, you know. And I caught myself, right? Like, I hate to say it, but I was like, oh, you already did that. That's right. Yep. Mike's authority, the Laker coach.
Right. Right.
And then I brought up Mike D'Antoni. I was like, yeah, that would be great, too. It really unlocked the offense. They already did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I shouldn't laugh because, I mean, but it kind of speaks to how many coaches they've gone through since Phil Jackson left, right? I mean, there just really hasn't been a lot of consistency. And I know in talking to Jeannie Buss and her organizational philosophy, and maybe even if you watch Winning Time, I don't know if you've been watching that, like, the Lakers have historically been a team that keeps coaches for a long time. They find somebody and they hold on to them for a decade, you know? The whole Winning Time season one is obviously the Jack McKinney, Paul Westa thing. But then once Pat Riley takes over, I mean, he holds that job for a while, right?
Yeah.
Same thing. Same thing with Phil Jackson. He was the man, and so just hard to find somebody to replace somebody with, you know, that kind of status and legendary, you know, legendary gravitas. I guess you want to use that word, but I don't know. I don't know if they know what they're looking for, to be honest. I think they're kind of surveying the field, talking to a bunch of people. Some of them are assistants. Some of them are guys who've been coaches before. They're just doing Zooms right now, not even in person. They don't seem to have any sense of urgency about this. Their current staff outside of Frank Vogel is still under contract and working and helping with the draft process. I don't think they're in any hurry. And some of that is maybe just waiting to see what else happens in the playoffs and in the NBA who might be available. But they really don't have any competition. There's only like a couple of jobs open this year. Sacramento filled theirs, and they went with Mike Brown, who the Lakers, again, had already been there, done that, right? And he'd already been there, done that. So the other one is Charlotte. I think you know, Charlotte has a couple of options. Mike D'Antoni seems like he's in a good spot for that job. Again, been there, done that. And so the Lakers really have their pick.
So if you were, though, a coach being wooed by the Lakers, what would you ask them? Because it seems to me, you know, I would want to interview the Lakers as much as vice versa.
Absolutely.
Right? So
that is, you're right, 100%. And I don't know if that's going to help you, though.
Why? Because you might not get an answer because they don't know either, or they don't want to be interviewed as much as the other way around, right?
Both. I mean, you know, look, Frank Vogel was the guy who they ended up with. They did a good job. I mean, he won a championship. And I think people forget he had a really good staff that first year. That was something that they prioritized, and it was seen as sort of a negative for the organization. Like, oh, the organization wants to help you choose your staff. Like, very few coaches want to allow that. They want their own guys. They want to build their own team, et cetera. But the Lakers, you know, felt really strongly that they wanted to put an all-star staff together. And, you know, that first year with Frank Vogel, he had three or four guys who had been head coaches in the league before on that staff. And they sort of slowly, you know, Jason Kidd went to Dallas. Lionel Hollins was sort of unceremoniously let go, or bumped from the bench or whatever it is. And the staff has seen some attrition over the last couple of years. And, you know, as much as you might knock the Lakers for saying, okay, what good coach worth his salt is going to let you pick a bunch of guys on his staff, it did work the first year. And it was good. It was good for them. So I think they're going to end up with somebody who will allow that. I think they're going to, that's something that seems important to them. Unless somebody really blows them away and they just want to give them the keys. But I can't think of anybody who would have that kind of leverage right now, because so many great young coaches were hired last year. There was so many of the great names that you hear about who would have the leverage or the ability to pull off something like that. They were all hired. They had a lot of openings last year. So there's just not as many candidates that you would think in that role.
Ramona Shelburne here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who is your best guess right now to make the NBA Finals? It looks like we could have a bunch of 2-2 series, although Morant being out tonight makes me think that would be a very tall order for them to even that series up at 2 apiece. But what do you think right now?
Yeah, so I like the Warriors in the West, and I still think I like the Bucks in the East. There's something about, you know, having won a championship and especially getting that game three. That was really persuasive to me, the way they came back in that game against Boston there. I know the Bucks have blown leads before, but they also, when they blew those leads, were not defending champions. So I've all year long, I just kind of thought Milwaukee was going to do it again. In the West, I still think it's going to be Phoenix and Golden State. And there's just a part of me that when they played straight up, so there was only one or two games where they played straight up where all their guys were healthy. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Warriors looked better in those games. The other games where Phoenix, you know, the Warriors had some injuries or whatever it was, Phoenix beat them pretty badly. But I just, there's something about those guys having been to the finals before, knowing what it takes in the playoffs, slight edge the Warriors if that ends up being the matchup.
Ramona, thanks for the call. Congrats on all the great castings for your show. Let's stay in touch. And
I'll let you know when we get our Vista Viana. That's going to be a good one. I got some of the names we're talking to right now. That's my favorite one, too. I'm like, who are we going to get to play V?
That would be, yeah, absolutely. Who's playing?
Let's cast it right now.
We could cast it, right? Who's gonna play Chris Paul? I mean, I imagine that would be a very fascinating casting as well.
Some good ones.
You know, I'm sure. Best of luck with that. Let's stay in touch. I'll call you soon. Thanks again, Ramona.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. That's Ramona Shelburne from ESPN right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break. Dan Orlovsky coming up next. He had an interesting, if you will, take on the top five quarterbacks under the most pressure entering the NFL season. You're already rolling your eyes because you know who's number one.
I mean,
that's what the star on the side of your helmet means. I'm not in full agreement of what he's put out there, but we'll hit that with Dan when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least The partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on our simulcast, we're one big happy family here on NBC Sports on Peacock, NBC Sports Audio, our Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate network, the Odyssey app. That's how you can watch us and listen to us live. There's our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for anything that you may have missed. Love this guy. Love when he comes on. Love watching him and his star rise at the worldwide leader in sports. Joining me here from the NFL Live crew and every other show that he's on ESPN. They certainly put him to work. Joining us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. It's been a while. Dan Orlovsky. How you been, Dan?
Rich, I've been great, buddy. Awesome job at the draft, by the way.
Thank you.
It is good to be back on with you, bud.
It's a big bear of an assignment, no doubt about that. Coming out of the draft, as you know, Dan, half the battle, or a large part of the battle, for a rookie quarterback is to wind up in a good spot where the coach knows what to do, the coaching staff knows what to do, the coaching staff isn't going to get the axe. Same thing with the front office. And which quarterback do you think winds up in the best spot after they got drafted in 2022, Dan?
Yeah, I still think it's Malik Willis. You know, I do think that Kenny Pickett's in a good place for Pittsburgh, and I think that if I'm Pittsburgh, this is an open competition with the built-in of this is Mitchell Trubisky's job unless Kenny Pickett takes it from him. And if you feel, if that happens, then you feel good about that if you're Pittsburgh, that we made the right pick. The concern for me is the offensive line in Pittsburgh is still a subpar unit. And if I was going to tell you what Kenny Pickett was good at and what he struggled with, it would be his mechanics in the pocket and leaving clean pockets and, you know, how much he just allows the rush to impact him throughout the game. That's why I say Malik Willis. One, we know John Robinson, the general manager for Tennessee, is not going anywhere with the roster that he has built. Two, Mike Vrabel, the head coach, has absolutely no pressure right now for his job. So he's not going to what we see in the NFL all the time, and you know this, rush a young quarterback on the field to try and save their job. Their offensive coordinator, Todd Downing, you know, is schematically built and believes in dominant offensive line play, committing to the run game, never allowing the game to dictate who you are, and really allowing the play-action game to be the fundamental part of your passing game. And I think that's what allows Malik Willis to play at his strength. Now, he needs at least a year, if not 2 years, of just learning. You know, this is a guy that's super talented physical player, very bright young man, but I don't believe was actually stressed to develop that football intelligence and really learn protections and really learn run checks and really learn coverage changed, because it was, hey, run the line of scrimmage, you know, let's run RPOs and let's take shots down the field. And I think if Tennessee could just be really smart and patient with him and allow him to really play a little bit of catch up there, he's got the chance to be a really good player.
Yeah, and of course, you know, when he gets on the field, we're assuming Derrick Henry's still going to be have some significant years of viability left. I did like that scenario for sure. What about Desmond Ridder in Atlanta? What did you think of that one, Dan?
Well, I think it's a good landing spot, Rich. I do. I believe that if you ask me the two things that he did well, run the line of scrimmage and then play action pass in rhythm. That's what he did at Cincinnati, and that's what Arthur Smith, they're all head coaches, you know, coming from. That's what he believes in. That team is devoid of talent beyond words. Poor offensive line, poor skill group. And Kyle Pitts and Drake London, you know, very young and promising players. Obviously, Kyle Pitts is the superstar. But they don't have really proven wide receiver talent. And I think that hurts a little bit. We'll see if he actually plays beneath Marcus Mariota. Atlanta just comes across to me as a team that is going to go through a difficult year. And then next year, go big game hunting, whether it's in the draft, because they're going to be a top five, top six draft pick next year. You know, so I think that they're going to see some of the talent that's coming out of the college rank next year. So while I think it's a good fit for Ridder, unless he gets on the field and then plays above the supporting cast, I think Atlanta's back in the mix next year.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show from ESPN. Let's talk second-year quarterbacks and who's going to have the biggest leap. And there's so many different leaps that we're talking about here. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, year one, year two. Doug Peterson's now there. The guy who kicked his kicker has now been kicked to the curb. That alone should just mean so much for him. Yeah, I said it. Zach Wilson gets Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, and that goes with Elijah Moore and a supposedly healthy Corey Davis, Michael Carter year two. They got a whole bunch of tight ends drafted and free agency. Becton could come back. Then you got Trey Lance. Anything he does is a leap, right? Then you've got Mac Jones. We saw what he did last year, and you could even throw Davis Mills in there, who had the second-best rookie season of a quarterback. Justin Fields, a big question mark. Which one do you think is going to wind up with the biggest leap, Dan Orlovsky? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's Zach Wilson. And, Rich, I don't really think it's close. Huh. I think the quarterback that we saw set up going into their second season to play this well was Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. I think I look at the whole situation as this. Number one, second year in a system that has for 40-plus years had quarterbacks play above their talent level, and that's the Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, Kyle Shanahan system. It is just as quarterback-friendly when it comes to the commitment to the run, the threat of the run, and then the easy play-action pass throws out of it. So that alone is going to force a jump. Mike LaFleur, the offensive coordinator, second year. But their offensive line right now has three first-round draft picks on it. You mentioned Becton, but AVT, and then Laken Tomlinson was a first-round pick as well. Huge free agent signing from the 49ers. So this in 2 years, Joe Douglas, their general manager, has given Zach Wilson a good offensive line. I think it's got a chance to be a pretty darn good offensive line, candidly. You mentioned the tight ends, and now they've got two first-round selections at wide receiver, a second-round selection at wide receiver, and basically a first-round tailback in Breece Hall, because reports were saying that they were going to take him. And that's everything for a quarterback to go play well, dude. Like this, if you are the talent that the second pick in the NFL draft kind of demands you to be or deems you to be, then we're in a good place. And I think Zach Wilson is going to have a giant leap this year, not only because of that, but also I saw him come back from injury last year. His last six games of the year, he looked like a good player. And from everything that you hear and from the people that I kind of talk to that I know in that organization – they have said that he has taken a massive leap when it comes to his ownership of his role within their organization.
Oh my gosh. I got to tell you, that excites me to no end. And I love Sauce Gardner and what they did in the first round too. You got Jermaine Johnson the second. I don't understand what I'm seeing with a competent front office actually building a team from the inside out.
And it's new for you, Jets fans.
It is weird.
I think he's a really good place. And if you contrast it to Justin Fields' situation in Chicago, it's not even close. You know, anyone who expects Justin Fields to take a big leap this year, you're kidding yourself, or he's going to be the MVP of the league.
There's no in between.
Well, they've got a bottom five, bottom six offensive line still. Their two top pass catchers are, a second round tight end from two or three years ago and a third round rookie this year that they took out of Tennessee. Now, Darnell Mooney, is a good player. I don't believe he's proven to be a number one or number two in the league. So he doesn't have a number one or number two receiver as far as guys with, are bona fide in that role. Bottom five offensive line, it's a lot to ask of him. I'm concerned about who's calling plays in New England. I've been adamant about that. I don't believe that that's a good situation for Mac this year. So I'm really convinced. I think Zach takes a big jump.
No. What are your concerns about Mac Jones? What are your concerns about him?
Well, two things. Number one, the draft pick of Thornton out of Baylor as wide receiver in the second round. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Name the last player that came out of Baylor that the hype meant that he exceeded the hype or met the hype. Corey Coleman, the receiver, did it work out? Denzel Mims, as you Jets fans know, hasn't worked out. Kendall Wright for the Tennessee Titans first round pick didn't work out. There's Baylor receivers that are really good college players and they get drafted to go be big speed guys. And, Josh Gordon was the supplemental draft pick that actually worked. And I just don't know I don't believe that Tyquan Thornton is going to be this second round receiver when after him went Alec Pierce, the receiver out of Cincinnati that went to Indy, Sky Moore went to Kansas City. So both speed guys, but also good receivers. And then if you look at Rich, the quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks in the NFL over the last 4 or 5 years that have taken these jumps in young parts of their careers, there's been this continuity in their offensive coaching staff. Patrick Mahomes had, Mike Kafka and Eric Bieniemy. Josh Allen had Brian Daboll and Ken Dorsey. Joe Burrow's had Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan. Lamar Jackson's had Greg Roman and I believe their quarterback coach is Jeremy Urban. He's had these guys for the same amount of time. Mac Jones goes from Josh McDaniels to a coach that's never called offensive plays in the league. That is an issue.
Dan Orlovsky here on the Rich Eisen Show. You can catch him on NFL Live and the host of television shows on the Worldwide Leader in Sports here on the Rich Eisen Show. So I definitely saw you talk about quarterbacks under the most pressure entering the 2022 season. I want you to tell me why you chose Dak Prescott as number one atop your list, Dan.
I mean, it's go time. We all know what the narrative is, and it's a fair one and an accurate one. When you pay the quarterback a bunch of money, what happens to the rest of your roster, the stress that it puts on the rest of your roster and, the ability to build that. I also started thinking of the last quarterbacks that basically within a year of them getting their big contract extension, what they did with it. Patrick went to the Super Bowl. Jared Goff went to the Super Bowl. Josh Allen basically played one of the greatest quarterback games we've ever seen of last year's playoffs. And so now Dak Prescott has been the last quarterback that got his big money that we're sitting here as a young player or still youngish player and saying, okay, now it's time to pay it off and prove that that was the right investment. We see it didn't work out in Philadelphia with Carson Wentz. And I just think that this roster has been slowly picked off a little bit since that contract. And this is a team that plays in, a non-elite division in a non-elite conference. And I've said this before, I'm not being a jerk, it's the truth. Name me the last time you can remember Dak Prescott carrying the Cowboys or being the reason the Cowboys won a game versus a good opponent.
I guess they didn't win against the Bucks last year in week one, but him coming back, I see what you're saying, and I was very disappointed with their playoff performance this past year. Highly,
right.
And being a Cowboy quarterback is always one of the most pressure situation. And I saw the right. rest of your list as well, Dan, you know, where 3, 4, 5 are young quarterbacks who I think need to prove their worth now while they're being evaluated now. I think Zach Wilson still has a gig. 4th is Jalen Hurts on your list. I think he is definitely in a do or die year. And you could say Tua. I think that's a perfect number 3 as well, because of the way that Miami has totally remade itself. Your number 2 answer, not to go first take on you, but I got to push back. Why do you think Aaron Rodgers has any pressure at all? I don't think he's under pressure at all. Why do you put him 2 on this list, Dan? Why?
Because it would be absolutely one of the most indescribable or inexplainable things that if Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay with just a single Super Bowl. And I am not the person who measures quarterbacks by Super Bowls and, like, they're good or bad. But I know I played against this dude like 15 times, and I know what I watched, and I know the talent that I saw. And it would be very difficult for me to understand how, if he only wins one, that was the case. With the stability that they've had, with the amount of talent that they have had, to not be, and he didn't play good last year in the playoffs. And, you know, that was a team that really had a lot of makings of being a Super Bowl champion. And, you know, the 18 months long of, I don't want to be in Green Bay, or I'm upset about what's going on in Green Bay, and now the relationship's gotten better, I'm going to stay in Green Bay, even though they took a quarterback in the first round 3 years ago. Yeah, I think that this is like, I believe he's under the most pressure he's ever been under, not financially, but just far as climbing the mountain, reaching the ultimate top. You know, I think that this is probably the most pressure he's ever felt when it comes to accomplishing that goal.
I don't know. I just think the guy doesn't feel it. I just don't think he feels it or senses it, and that if he does finish with one Super Bowl, he'll still show up as a first ballot Hall of Famer in that gold jacket the rest of his career, and people will still be talking about him the same way that you did, which is one of the most incredibly talented guys to ever play. And, you know, Marino seems to be able to stand tall without any of those rings as he shows up to Canton every year. That would be my pushback on that, and that we could choose another guy to throw in it too overall.
Last year we had the same question, and I said unequivocally it was Matthew Stafford. Did I think that if Matthew Stafford won or did not win the Super Bowl last year, his life as a human at 45 or 50 years old was going to be any different? No. Do I think that same case for Aaron Rodgers? I do. I don't think his life, whether he wins a Super Bowl in the next year or two, as far as a human or a personal thing, at 45 or 50 is going to be any different. I don't think it's going to be any different. But these guys are the cream of the crop, the most competitive, maniacal, driven human beings on planet Earth. And I know, I'm putting words in his mouth, I know that dude wants to win another one. I, like, know it, because there's no way that he accomplishes what he accomplishes if he's not obsessed trying to chase that down and trying to go do it another time. And I can't imagine that he's not expecting, I got to get it done. Like, he's even hinted at it in press conferences a little bit, you know, like, hey, mm-hmm. we got to find a way to get it done.
Well, because I'm a guy that doesn't just push back and then not make a suggestion. I would remove Rodgers from that list and put Russell Wilson right there. I mean, Denver thinks that they're ready to roll now, and that he's the missing ingredient, that he's a much younger version of Peyton Manning, and by that I mean a guy that comes with a ring to town to finish up their career on a high note. That's what I mean, not skill set, and obviously not all-time you know, GOAT level. That's where I mean. I'd put Russell there because everybody's going to be looking at him and saying, it's go time now. Thanks for coming, and we'll see what he looks like.
Yeah, so I actually gave – get up, I think 7 or 8 names. Russell was on there. Okay. Tannehill was on there.
Sure.
I've kind of phrased the Russell Wilson situation as this. I think it's a must-win window, not a must-win season.
Got it.
You know, I absolutely agree that he has to go win a Super Bowl in Denver for not only what they gave up to get him, but how good of a team they are. I mean, this is a relatively – and I don't think he's ever had the situation he's in now where elite offensive system, which Nathaniel Hackett is bringing over, and elite – skill position talent. I mean, he's got a lot of weapons there. So I would agree. I just don't believe it is a must-win season for Russell. I think it's a must-win tenure.
Okay. And then last one for you, Dan Orlovsky, not to put you in a role of news and information, but I mean, you hear a lot of stuff. Your ear is to the ground as you also do your job so well at ESPN. Why is Baker Mayfield in the situation he's in right now, do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I think it's probably two reasons. Number one, the finances. You know, teams don't want to take any of that money, and it's weird because Cleveland, you have to pay them. Whether you cut them or not, you have to pay them. And you saw the report last week, no one wants to do Cleveland any favors. So that, and it's a one-year rental, I guess. You know, you don't know if he comes over and plays good football, are pretty good football, are you going to commit the money that the quarterbacks are getting nowadays to them? So, and maybe a little bit of the personality, maybe a little bit of the abrasiveness that you hear some reports about. I've been adamant, Rich. I don't understand how a team didn't send a fifth-round pick and $4 million to Cleveland for him.
Yeah.
But I just believe he's a good player. And I think that at some point he's going to get on a roster. And I think he's going to make a general manager look very intelligent.
Dan, thank you for the time. Always appreciate it. Never take it for granted. Let's do this again whenever you're around. If you come out to L.A., I'd love to have you in here, too. That would be fun.
I might be out in L.A. sooner than ever anticipated, brother. So I appreciate it. Always good to be with you.
Let me know. Let me know, sir. You be well, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's Dan Orlovsky, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show out here in Los Angeles. Hopefully sooner rather than later. It'd be great to talk to him. Boy, I just love listening to him talk. It's great.
Week one, Dallas Cowboys lost to Tampa Bay. Dak Prescott, 400 yards passing.
He was phenomenal, but he said in a win.
What I'm saying is, three of these losses, the Cowboys lost because Greg Zuerlein in week one missed an extra point, three of five of field goals.
You mean the Jets' new kicker?
They lost. Yeah. We lost. Week two of three field goals, one of two extra points. Zuerlein, Dak, 375, two touchdowns. That should have been a win. Then against the Cardinals late in the season, lost by three. Oh, Zuerlein missed field goal or extra. Anyway.
Gotta win the game.
Well, I'll push back. I don't know off the top of my head. But sometimes you're out there kicking field goals because your offense stalls.
Yep.
So don't put it on the leg of your kicker.
How about that, okay, Cowboys?
When missing, you could just keep it in your own damn hands.
Man, missing extra points.
Hey, look, I don't want to.
I'm just saying, for him to say that, it's
I just don't. I totally get your vibe about Dak. I would take him, obviously. If I'm starting a team, I would take him. I think he is a winner. I think he is a great person to put out there in your community. But I don't disagree that this is a very pressure-packed year for him.
Well, yeah, it's always
now,
pressure.
Now, in the same way that he doesn't think it's a pressure-packed year, that it's a window. It's the same thing. He says it's a window for Russell Wilson to win. A must win window, as opposed to the window just being 1 year. I don't think it's a 1 year window for Dak either. I think it's a window that he needs he win in this, you know, contract that he has just signed.
Okay,
like I would say that is that way for him. It's not like if he doesn't perform well this year, the Cowboys are going to think of going in a different direction for 2023.
And that's kind of
they might look over the steering wheel and say, I don't know if this is the guy. I think if Dak doesn't perform this year, that's going to fall on the coach's lap. And Mike McCarthy will be adios. And they'll figure out a different way for Dak Prescott to be nurtured and coached under Dan Quinn's tutelage. I think that will happen if Dak doesn't have a great 2022 season or doesn't live up to the standard of that contract. I think that will fall on McCarthy, not Dak. So that would be my response to to him being atop the list of the quarterbacks under the most pressure in 2022. Now, if you look at the other people on his list, Tua, I think if he doesn't perform well this year, see ya.
Yeah.
Like we're entering.
He should be
like,
number one, right?
Well, he'll still be on the roster because this is, you know, this will be here. Well, no. Actually, they'll have to pick up his fifth year option. They'll have to talk about that. So he'll be in year four. He won't get his contract, and he might not get his fifth year option picked up. Like, that will be his result of not performing well this year. Jalen Hurts might not have a job. Because the Eagles have that backstop of multiple
pressure.
Picks next year, right? And okay. Then there's Zach Wilson, who, you know, does look, man, it's New York City. There's always pressure going on, and it's time. It's year two. But you're hearing, you know, Rome. Like, how many times are you going to hear from people who I respect? Romo last year, Dan Orlovsky now. How many times are we going to hear Patrick Mahomes' name thrown around with him? He's got a ceiling of Patrick Mahomes, says Romo last year. I didn't see Mahomes. I didn't see Patrick. I didn't see Pat. I didn't see the Patrol. I didn't see Showtime. I didn't see any of that last year. And now here's Orlovsky saying, you know, be set up in a second year with the weapons surrounding him and the coaching staff that knows what to do with him, like no quarterback since Mahomes' second year, which was his first full year of starting. But I'd put Russell on that list over Rodgers. You think Rodgers sitting there feeling pressure? I don't think Rodgers feeling pressure. If I got to do it this year,
Brockman will.
Or what?
Brockman would say this. The fact is that we, and this is why I think Chris would answer this. We do hold Aaron Rodgers to a high regard. He is on a lot of people's Mount Rushmores.
Yeah, right.
Yet the man has one championship.
He has won a championship. And I know he has just one. He has just
one. And that's a shout out to my boy Brock.
No, I know he has just one, and I know that's what Chris would push back and saying. To me, he might feel the pressure to win one more before his time runs out, but I think he probably, you know, if he could play like Rodgers does, I mean like Brady does, he's got 4 or 5 more years left. And if he could play till age 43, 42, if that's what he wants to do, and it certainly looks like he's got the ability to do it and the skill set to do it and the you know, luck of staying healthy to do it.
That's big.
Then let him go find his own Tampa Bay Buccaneers before he leaves and do it one more time with somebody else. That's why I don't think he's going to sit there and feel pressure. He's like Mr. R-E-L-A-X.
Yeah, he's,
you know,
he's chilling,
like, that's
regardless.
Why I don't think he's going to be under it. That might be our punditry talking about it. And I understand why Dan would say that. But that's why I'm saying take him off, and I'd put Russ on. Like, because you got to show up. Everyone is thinking that his skill set diminished in Seattle, and part of the reason why Seattle let him go is they don't feel like he's got the longevity to continue to do it. And Denver's like, we're going to have a parade here. That's some pressure.
Yeah. Like, Dak is not, like you said, Dak is not, looking at this list, he's not losing his job unless something
really
awful happens.
Well, neither is Russell
either.
I guess we're going back and forth as to what constitutes pressure.
The Dolphins quarterback in the team from Philadelphia, those quarterbacks are really feeling the pressure.
Let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll finish up with a little Rich Strike talk. We haven't really delved into it. Let's do that when we come back here on this Monday show. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O-O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Callaway, everybody. Every golf company claims to be the longest off the tee, but Callaway's new Rogue ST driver is the only one built to completely bomb it. It's been speed-tuned to be Callaway's fastest, most stable driver ever. Every Rogue ST is engineered with a tungsten speed cartridge, which gives you more speed on off-center hit, provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. But that's just the beginning, because Callaway, you know what they've done is they've engineered a Rogue ST for every single player. Now, I fit into the Max. Most people will, because of that incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. That's exactly what I need to get off the tee. There's the Max D, the dedicated draw model if you want more shot shape correction. If you need something more low spin, there's the Max LS. Stronger trajectory, more neutral ball flight. The true players out there, you can use the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS. That's the compact, low spin head that the tour players love. Bottom line is Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go rogue. Hey, man, you know, we didn't have a show on Friday, so we didn't do our usual conversation about the Kentucky Derby. And I can guarantee you, we could have got every expert on, from our friend Hank Greenberg to Eddie Olczyk to any handicapper.
They
wouldn't have told. If we did that on Friday, they wouldn't have told you about Rich Strike, because Rich Strike wasn't really in the field yet. I can't tell you how incredible this story is. And again, I understand that people, it's hard to relate because we're talking about a horse and not a human. But Rich Strike did not get into the Kentucky Derby field until Friday, when Dwayne Lucas scratched his horse Ethereal. And those who are in the Rich Strike world will tell you they didn't know until 30 seconds before the deadline of entry that they were in. And they're like, okay, we got it. 80-1. How do you even put odds on a horse that's only entered the field apparently a couple of opportunities at some big time races? How do you even handicap it? 80-1. And horse 21. The number of times that I have watched Rich Strike go from like 15th to winning in the last 50 seconds, I've watched that on a loop, and I've shown it to my kids, and I'm like, look, never give up. And look at that superfecta. It paid $321,000.
Yeah. Oof.
Second longest odds to ever win the Kentucky Derby. Paid $163.60. The only horse with longer odds to win was Donerail and 1913, 91-1. By the way, it paid $184.90. Could you imagine what that was in 1913? Like, you could live off that for a year.
Exactly.
You know? And again, I understand you might be thinking, well, it's just a horse. But it truly means you never know. Chip in a chair, as they say in poker. Gotta be in it to win it, as they say in the lottery. You never know. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, says Wayne Gretzky. Rich Strike now enters that realm in sports lore. Unbelievably inspiring. Go watch the video of that finish if you somehow haven't seen it. And that's how we go out the door on this Monday.